بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. In our previous class we had read the chapter, the author, he mentioned Bab al-Adawati wal-Baghda. The chapter he had entitled, Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, the chapter of enmity and hatred. The chapter of enmity and hatred. And in this work, the work of Al-Kaba'ir, the major sins. And we have seen that what is being referred to here is having Al-Adawa وَالْبَغْضَىٰ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, having enmity and hatred for the believers, having enmity and hatred for the believers. And we have seen the evidences the author he had mentioned and how he has clarified that this enmity and hatred, that al-adawa and al-baghdha, that this is something that is for the disbelievers, that this is something that is for the disbelievers, not for the believers. But rather the believers, they have an allegiance and they have love. And this is the origin in this affair. But to further clarify some of the details related to this, we read from the fatawa of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullahu ta'ala, because this is an issue that has details. And this is an issue that in these days people have made severe mistakes with regards to, major mistakes in this affair. Some of them going to extremes and others being negligent. And with regards to this affair of love and hate and allegiance and disavow, this is from the foundations and the fundamentals of the deen. And it should be understood properly. Al-adawatu wal-baghdha. And what is intended here, that's a major sin, is to have this for the believers, and those who are upright. But there are details there. There are details there. And this is the origin and the foundation, that the believer, he has love. And that the believers, they are brothers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he affirmed that even if there are two parties of the believers, they're fighting together. Even if there are two parties of the believers, they're fighting together. They commence to fighting one another. That Allah, he still considered them brothers. And then we have been commanded to rectify between them. So brothers, they have love. Brothers, they have love, even if there are disputes, a believer, he will never detest entirely and hate entirely another believer. This is the point here, that a believer, he will have love in his heart for the Muslims, all of them, and he will never hate one of them entirely the way that he would hate a disbeliever. And likewise, on the other hand, he will not have love for a disbeliever, whether he will hate him entirety, and there's no love for him. We're speaking about the love that is al-muhabba al-muqtasaba. These affairs, alhamdulillah, they have been clarified in previous classes, the issues of love and what is intended by the love here. And the classes in the beginning of Tharathut Usul, we discussed the affairs of al-wala wal-bara in detail. And likewise, previously, in the past few weeks, we have discussed the issues of al-muhabba. Al-Mahabba, the one that is considered worship and the right of Allah Azza wa Jal, the one that is considered shirk, and likewise the one that is considered muharram and impermissible. So there are details with regards to this issue. But just to bring further clarification in this work here, I need to understand. Shaykh al-Islam, he says in what has been collected by Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Qasim from the works of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, Majmu' al-Fatawa in volume 28, on page 209, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, وَلِيُعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ تَجِبُ مُوَلَاتُهُ وَإِنْ ظَلَمَكَ وَاعْتَدَى عَلَيْكَ. He said, it must be known that the believer, it's an obligation to have an allegiance for him. The foundation of allegiance is love, to be allied with him and to love him, and to take him as an ally and a friend, and to love him. This is an obligation. وَلِيُعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ تَجِبُ مُوَلَاتُهُ وَإِنْ ظَلَمَكَ وَاَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكَ. That it must be known that it's an obligation to have an allegiance for the believer even if he oppresses you and transgresses your rights. Even if he oppresses you and transgresses your rights. والكافر تجب معاداته when أعطاك وأحسن إليك. And the disbeliever, it's an obligation to have enmity for him. To have enmity for him even if he gives you and he's nice to you. Even if he gives you and he's nice to you. Again, the author, Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, he's clarifying the issues here of the kaba'ir al-qulub, the major sins of the heart. And to remember that al-mahabba and al-adawa, this is something that's in the heart. Love and hatred and the likes, these are affairs that are in the heart. So this is the case, that in the heart, a believer, he will have love for another believer even if he oppressed him. And even if he wronged him, that love will not be removed entirely because of that oppression, so long as he's a believer. So long as he's a believer. And likewise, the disbeliever, it's incumbent to have disavowal and to have hatred for him, and to have enmity towards him in the heart. In the heart, even if he gives you and he's nice to you. Even if he gives you and he's nice to you. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ بَعَثَ الرُّسُولَ وَأَنزَلَ الْكُتُبَ لِيَكُونَ دِينُ كُلُّهُ لِلَّهِ. Because Allah, the Most High, He has sent the messengers and He has revealed the books in order for the religion to be entirely for Him. In order for the religion to be entirely for Him. فَيُكُونُ الْحُبُّ لِأَوْلِيَائِهِ وَالْبُغْضُ لِأَعْدَائِهِ. So therefore, the love, it must be for His allies and those who believe in Him. And enmity and hatred. And hatred, it must be for His enemies. وَلِكْرَامُ لِأَوْلِيَائِهِ وَالْإِهَانَةُ لِأَعْدَائِهِ. And honor and respect for His allies, the allies of Allah. And likewise, the detestments or to belittle or to dislike for the enemies of Allah. وَالثَّوَابُ لِأَوْلِيَائِهِ وَالْإِقَابُ لِأَعْدَائِهِ. And the reward is for the allies of Allah. And the punishment is for the enemies of Allah. Now he clarifies an important detail here. And this is the foundation. But there could occur a situation where there is a believer who has belief with him and he has kufr with him likewise. Or he has khayr with him and he has shar with him likewise. Or he has iman with him and he has nifaq with him likewise. So now there are details in this specific issue here. There's details in this specific issue here. So he says, وَإِذَا اجْتَمَعَ فِي الرَّجُلِ الْوَاحِدِ خَيْرٌ وَشَرٌ وَفُجُورٌ وَطَاعَةٌ وَمَعْسِيَةٌ وَسُنَّةٌ وَبِدْعَةٌ اسْتَحَقَّ مِنَ الْمُوَالَاةِ وَالثَّوَابِ بِقَدْرِ مَا فِيهِ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ وَاسْتَحَقَّ مِنَ الْمُعَادَاتِ وَالْعِقَابِ بِحَسَبِ مَا فِيهِ مِنَ الشَّرِّ. He said, as for the case, if there is one man is gathered in one man, good and evil, or corruption and disobedience and obedience, and he has good in him and evil in him. He has aspects of obedience with him and aspects of corruption and disobedience with him. He has sunnah with him and bid'ah with him. And this could occur in a Muslim. He could be in some aspects upon the sunnah and other aspects upon the innovation. Not every innovation takes a person out of the religion. So there are innovations that will take a person out of the religion. And there are innovations that are lesser than that. So some people, they will be upon innovation and they will be a bona fide innovator, but they have some sunnah with them likewise. And they decorate and they mix the truth with the falsehood. They mix the truth with the falsehood. So he's a believer from one aspect and an innovator from another aspect. And he's upon khayr from one aspect and he's upon evil and falsehood from another aspect. For example, if he establishes the five daily prayers, he's upon khayr. But if he partakes in riba and interest and he sells alcohol and the likes like that, he's upon shar. He's upon shahr at the same time. At the same time. So he's a believer, but his belief is weak. So therefore this issue here, he is saying here, rahimahullah, that this person now, he deserves the allegiance and the reward according to that which he has from goodness. And likewise, he deserves enmity and a punishment according to that which he has from evil. فَيَجْتَمِعُ فِي الشَّخْصِ الْوَحِدِ مُجِبَاتُ الْإِكْرَامِ وَالْإِهَانَةِ. So it could be gathered in one individual that which necessitates to honor him and likewise to disrespect him. And two aspects. And from some aspects he should be honored, and from other aspects he should be disrespected. He should be dishonored, and this is because of his actions, and he should be belittled. فَيَجْتَمِعُ لَهُ مِنْ هَذَا وَهَذَا. So it could come in him from this aspect and from that aspect. And now he makes a beautiful example. He says, كَلِّسْ الْفَقِيرِ كَلِّسْ الْفَقِيرِ, like the poor person who's a thief, the poor thief. تُقْطَعُ يَدُهُ لِسَرِقَتِهِ, his hand will be cut off because of his stealing. Like the poor thief, his hand will be cut off because of stealing. وَيُعْطَى مِن بَيْتِ الْمَالِ مَا يَكْفِيهِ لِحَاجَتِهِ, and at the same time he will be given from the wealth of the Muslims to suffice him, any because of his need. And so in one aspect, if he stole, he's poor, he's a poor Muslim, for example, and then he stole, so from one aspect he'll be punished, and if it's established against him that he stole in the Muslim court, then he'll be ruled like this, and his hand will be chopped. But at the same time, if it's established that he's poor as well, they'll give him from the zakat, and he deserves to have zakat because he has along with him that which requires for him to be punished, and likewise he has along with him that which requires for him to be honored and respected. So this type of individual here, he is considered with the people of knowledge, and he from different aspects, they had different terms. And some of them will call him a Muslim and not call him a mu'min. And he's a person of Islam, but he hasn't reached the level of faith yet. Or they'll call him a mu'min, but they'll say mu'minu naqisul iman. They say he's a mu'min, he's a believer, meaning he's a Muslim, but his faith is deficient. Or they say mu'minun bi imanihi fasiqun bi kabiratihi, that he is a believer because of his faith, but he's also wicked and evil because of his major sin. Other terms the people of Allah, as they have for this type of individual, they call him al-fasiqu al-milli. Al-fasiq al-milli. He's somebody who's wicked and evil from the Muslims, and from the deen of Islam. His Islam is established, and he's a Muslim, and he's from the believers in general, but he's corrupt and he's evil because of his sins. So therefore, this should be understood here, because some people have misunderstood this. And in this chapter, for example, they'll say, oh, it's a major sin to have adawa and to have baghdha for the Muslims. So therefore, they'll find fault with the people of the Sunnah whenever they boycott and they speak ill and they have enmity and hatred for the innovators from amongst the ranks of the believers. Whenever we have enmity and we have hatred for the Sufiyyah and the likes like this because of their innovation, and we have enmity for the different groups and the parties like Ikhwan Muslimin, and we have enmity for Jamaat al-Tabligh and the falsehood that they're upon, and because of the falsehood that they're upon, and because of the innovation that they're upon, that this is not a major sin, rather this is what is required. And they have committed actions in their statements and in their deed and in their creed that requires for them to be disrespected and to be detested. But it would not be, on the other hand, to the extent that they'll be treated like disbelievers, or their takfir would be made upon them and the likes like this. Rather, they still have iman. So therefore, they still have the right of love and brotherhood. Accordingly. But with regards to the innovators displaying that love, this is the issue. The love is established there, but will one display that love to him, or would he display to him harshness? And this goes back to the issue of masalih and mafasid. The origin is that a person, if he's established upon innovation and wickedness and evil, then he will be detested and he will be shown harshness in order for him to turn back. And these details we have discussed previously in the classes, yarhamukallah, in the classes of itaqillaha haythu ma kunta, and the classes with regards to the hadith, fear Allah wherever you may be. So this is something that should be known. So likewise, from the narrations that are evidence for this issue here, al-adawatu wal-baghdha, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, la tahasadu wa la tabaghadu wa la tadabaru wa kunu ibadallahi ikhwana. La tahasadu, do not have jealousy and envy for one another. Wa la tabaghadu, and do not hate and detest one another. Wa la tadabaru, and do not turn your backs on one another. Wa kunu ibadallahi ikhwana, and be brothers, O slaves of Allah. Some of the people of knowledge, they have derived from the statement وَلَا تَبَاغَضُوا, and do not detest and hate one another. لَا يُبْغِضُ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا, لَا تَبَاغَضُوا أَنَا لَا يُبْغِضُ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا, do not detest and hate one another. They have derived from this a beautiful and a subtle benefit, and that is the prohibition of innovation. لَا تَبَاغَضُوا, do not hate and despise one another. Some of the people of knowledge, they said that here there is a prohibition of innovation, because those who introduce innovation, they're the reason and the cause for detest and for hatred to come into the hearts between the believers and for the ranks to split. for the ranks to split. So a believer, if he sees somebody bringing into innovation in the deen and ascribing to the sunnah that which is not from it, and according to the severity of that, he would have hatred. He would have hatred for that man. He would have hatred for that man. Like the people today, they have many different types of innovations. Some of them are great and some of them are severe, calling on other than Allah. This is the worst of all innovation, and trying to claim that it's good and try to claim that it's allowed from the deen of Allah. The person who calls it that, he has enmity and hatred from Ahlus Sunnah for the sake of Allah. He would detest that. That's the right of Allah. That's the du'a ibadah. Du'a hul ibadah. This is the right of Allah. This is the right of Allah. He is the one that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Him. He is the one who's alive and He never dies. He is the one who provides, and He is the one who feeds and He's not fed. He is the one who's powerful and strong, and He never gets sleepy or tired. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He is the one who has no beginning and no end. Tabaraka wa ta'ala. So He is the one who one should call on. One should call on alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So people, if they call to calling on the graves, or if they call to other innovations in the life like this, then this will bring enmity into the hearts of the people. So لا تباغضوا, yani don't hate one another, then don't innovate in the deen of Allah. And don't speak about the deen of Allah without knowledge. And don't introduce into and ascribe to the deen of Allah and to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that which is not from him. Because if that occurs, there will be a tabaghud. And this is a must. There will be enmity and hatred amongst the believers. But here, this is an action of worship, and this is required. And this is required to detest innovations and the people of innovation, to detest them for the sake of Allah. But this detest will not carry a person to transgress the limits. It will not carry a person to transgress the limits and to violate the rights that they have. They still have the rights of brotherhood. They still have the rights of nasiha and advice, and sincere advice, and they still have the rights according to their situation of salam and the likes like this, and they still have the rights to be prayed on and so on and so forth according to the level of their misguidance and according to the level of their crime and their sin. But in any case, the point is that a believer, he will move upon evidences and proofs, and he will be upon the straight path, and the straight path is a moderate path, is a moderate path, a path of light, and he will not let his hatred or enmity for an innovator or for a disbeliever cause him to transgress the limits. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ. Do not let your hatred, your animosity for a people cause you to not be just. Rather be just. This is closer to piety. This is closer to piety. I mean, this is piety. So a believer, he will be just. But just so that it is known here, whenever the author, he's speaking about this affair, enmity and hatred, and for the believers, meaning for the pure believers, and for the upright and the righteous. As for those believers who are sinful because of innovations or because of major sins and the likes like this, then that sin requires to have a detestfulness in the heart of the Muslims accordingly, for them accordingly. Accordingly, and this is something that they have gained and they have earned. Yani Imam al-Sa'di, rahimahullah ta'ala, he summarized this in very beautiful detail. And he has a work called Usul al-Aqa'id al-Diniyya. Usul al-Aqa'id al-Diniyya, where he just summarized the fundamentals of the deen. And from them, the mas'alatul iman, the issue of faith. And we know that faith, al-Iman in Islam, it is a statement on the tongue and an action on the body parts. And likewise, it is creed and belief in the heart. And it increases. It increases with obedience and it decreases with disobedience. This is the issue of al-Iman with Ahl Sunnah. So based upon that, likewise, the people of Iman, they fluctuate. Based upon that belief and that creed with regards to the reality of al-Iman, نعم قول باللسان وعمل بالجوارح واتقاد بالجنان يزيد بطاعة الرحمن وينقص بطاعة الشيطان. Based upon that, the believers are not on one level. They're not on one level. And the people likewise in general, they're not on one level. So As-Sa'di, he mentioned about this, rahimahullah, that the people with regards to the issue of iman, there are three levels. There are three levels. He said, منهم من قام بحقوق الإيمان كلها فهو مؤمن حقا. From them is the one who established all of the rights of Iman. So he's a true believer. He's a true believer. So the one who's a true believer, to detest him and to hate him, this is a major sin. This is what the author he's referring to here. The one who, what is apparent outwardly from his actions and his statements and from his seerah and biography and what he's known from amongst his brothers and the likes like this, is that he's upright. And this is what is displayed from him and known from him from time, for a time. After knowing him and the likes like this, he's known for goodness. So therefore, he will be loved for that goodness, and he'll be respected for that goodness, and he'll be honored for that goodness. And to detest him because of the goodness he's upon is a major sin. Is a major sin. Is a major sin. So this is what he's referring to here. He said, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ تَرَكَهَا كُلَّهَا فَهَذَا كَافِرٌ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. So, and from them, and from the people likewise, the second category is the one who had left off the rights of Iman, all of them. And in the first category on this side is the one who established all of the rights of Iman. فَهُوَ الْمُؤْمِنُ حَقًّا. And then the one who left off on the other side, he left off all of the rights of that Iman and didn't establish none of them. So therefore he is a kafir. He's a disbeliever. He has disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ فِيهِ إِيمَانٌ وَكُفْرٌ أَوْ إِيمَانٌ وَنِفَاقٌ أَوْ خَيْرٌ وَشَرٌ فَفِيهِ مِنْ وِلَايَةِ اللَّهِ وَاسْتِحْقَاقِهِ لِلْكِرَامَتِهِ بِحَسَبِ مَا مَعَهُ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. And from them, I mean the third category, are those who have Iman and disbelief along with them in themselves. They have Iman, they have the faith that's enough to establish their deen and to enter them into the fold of Islam, but also along with that they have disbelief with them. They have disbelief with them from actions of disobedience and from actions of opposition to the command of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they're gathered in him, or he has Iman in him and also hypocrisy. And also hypocrisy, I mean the lesser disbelief and the lesser hypocrisy. The lesser disbelief and the lesser hypocrisy. Or he has khayrun in him and shar. He has good in him and evil. So this person here, he deserves and he will have the allegiance of Allah and the help and the aid of Allah, and he will have the love of Allah, and he would deserve the honor from Allah according to what he has from faith. According to what he has from faith. وَفِيهِ مِنْ عَدَاوَةِ اللَّهِ وَاسْتِحْقَاقِهِ لِعُقُوبَةِ اللَّهِ بِحَسِبِ مَا فِيهِ مِنْ بِحَسَبِ مَا ضَيَّعَ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. And also he will have along with him the enmity of Allah, and for the sake of Allah, and he will deserve the punishment of Allah according to that which he has neglected from al-Iman. According to that which has neglected from al-Iman. So somebody who is known to be upright and good, and all that is known from him is khayr. And the likes like this, then this one, he has a higher rank with the believers, and they'll love him more for the sake of Allah. And those who are lesser than that, and likewise, they'll also be loved for the sake of Allah, but that love will be according to their obedience. And then it could fall into the level where a believer will have some type of detest for him likewise if he fell into major sin, and if he fell into innovation, and if he fell into misguidance. But it will never be pure detest until he has entirely neglected him. And to where he has treated him entirely like he's a disbeliever, and the likes like this. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخُوَيْكُمْ. That the believers, they are nothing but brothers. So you should rectify between the brothers. And this is with regards to if they fell into a fighting, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considered them brothers. So this is an issue that's very important to understand, especially in our days, whenever there are people who are going to extremes on both sides. There are people who are going to extremes on both sides, and this is incorrect. Going to extremes and completely detesting and having pure hatred for a believer because of a sin or because of an innovation that's lesser than disbelief. This is wrong, and this is extremism. This is extremism. Going back to the issue whether that's shown or not, the love that's there for him, whether it's shown or not, this goes back to understanding that which is most beneficial for that individual and the society and the people dealing with him. But the point is that he will never have pure hatred for him so long as he's a Muslim. So long as he's a Muslim. And likewise, on the other hand, he will not be negligent with him likewise and be like, oh, he's a Muslim, and will accompany him and keep him close and treat him like those who are our best brothers and reliable and trustworthy. That because he's not reliable and he's not trustworthy according to his sin and according to his innovation and the likes like this, then he will be pushed away, and there will be a disallegiance from him accordingly. But all these affairs, they should be done with knowledge, which is light, and with justice and sincerity, and for the sake of Allah. Not afraid of what the people will say or what the people will do, or in order to gain rank with the people, but rather to take a position like this with an individual or the group of individuals because of deen and for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. After this, the author, he says, Babu al-Fuhsh. Babu al-Fuhshi. Al-Fuhsh, and he is indecency and vulgarness. And the meaning of fush, and in the Arabic language, it's used to refer to any kullu ma kathura wa tajawaza haddahu hatta yustaqbah. And everything that would that has transgressed the limits, and has become so abundant that it is considered to be disgusting and filthy. Yani that is considered to be disgusting and filthy, whatever it may be, something that has increased and increased and increased until the extent that has passed the limit and has become clearly known and is disgusting in a disgusting manner. And from this aspect, with regards to the mustalah hadith and the hadith terminology, and they have different terminologies for the narrators and for the narrators of hadith. One of them that they have for those narrators who have a very bad memory. He has a very bad memory. They call him Fahish al-Ghalat. Fahish al-Ghalat. Yani that he makes mistakes. How does he make mistakes? He makes mistakes with fuhsh. Meaning that whenever he narrates, if he narrates 50 hadith, 40 of them are wrong. For example, 40 of them will be wrong. Yani, or more like this. Like he'll make mistakes until the extent that it cannot be accepted. So they call that fuhshu al-Ghalat. And he makes mistakes to the extent that it's extreme and that it's repulsive. He repulsively makes mistakes whenever he narrates. They call that narrator fahish al-ghalat. And this is from the linguistic aspect. From the linguistic aspect. And this is so this is the case. And this is the meaning in the Arabic language of fuhsh. But what is referred to here are those sins that are disgusting and repulsive. Those sins that they're disobedience to Allah Azza wa Jal, but they're repulsive and they're disgusting and they're severe. And from them, many times the word al-fahsha or al-fahisha will be used in the Quran and has that general meaning. Every sin that is shani' and qabih, jiddan, that's very foul and vulgar and severe. And from that, it's used to refer specifically to zina. To fornication, and to indicate that fornication is a foul crime, is a vulgar and a foul sin, and is something that is not light. So this is any of the issue here. This is what is fush. Fush is any of the disgusting and the foul actions and statements. Then this is with regards to the actions and the statements, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he described the believer. Yani from the hadith of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, "Laysa al-mu'minu bi-ta'ani wa la'ani wa al-fahish wa al-badhi'." That the believer, he is not the true believer, al-mu'min, laysa al-mu'min, the strong believer, he is not laysa bi-ta'an, he's not ta'an, always talking bad and finding fault with others and picking out their faults and speaking ill about them, wa la'ani, and he's also not always cursing them and calling them names and the likes like this and putting the curse of Allah upon them. A believer, he's not like that. Wala al-fahish. And he's also not foul and indecent and vulgar. Not in his action and not in his speech. Wala al-badhi. Al-badhi is the one who has, yani al-badha'a was with the tongue. And to have the lowly and despicable speech. The lowly, and to speak about the lowly and the despicable manners and despicable and to use the words that are lowly and foul and baseless and the likes like this. A believer, he's not like that. He's not like that. So this is contrary to al-Iman. Babu al-Fuhsh. The author, he says, وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and the statement of Allah the Most High, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. He mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ. Verily, those who love, they like for the fahisha to spread, to shi'a and tashtahir, wa tafshu, and that will become well known and spread. Those who like that fahisha, indecency, and foulness, and evil and wickedness to be spread amongst the believers, and tashi'a al fahisha to. فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. These people who like this, who like that indecency be spread amongst the believers, they have a painful punishment. Then they have a painful punishment. This verse was revealed With regards to the ifk, what is that? Al ifk, qissatul ifk. Who knows that? With Aisha radiallahu anha, the ifk, yani, is the fabricated lie. Al ifk, ifkun azim. There was a great fabrication and lie they made against Aisha radiallahu anha, that she committed fornication. Waliyadu billah, and this was spread. And there were munafiqun that were spreading it from them. It was mentioned in the previous class yesterday. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Sulul. He was from them who was spreading that. He was spreading that, and it was being spread in Medina. And the likes, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He revealed from the heavens ayat and verses that are recited to this day, alhamdulillah. And freeing Aisha radiallahu anha from that blame and clarifying her innocence. And this was a major affair and a major issue and a major virtue for Aisha radiallahu anha, that these verses were revealed and they're recited to the Day of Judgment, clarifying her innocence and her honesty and her chastity radiallahu anha, and likewise clarifying the justice of Allah, and likewise the status of the woman in Islam, that Allah, He revealed verses for this affair to clarify the chastity and the honesty and the loyalty of this woman radiallahu anha. So this verse was revealed with regards to that. There are people spreading this, and spreading it around. And these are rumors that are being spread that this occurred. So this is something that is a major sin, spreading rumors of indecency and foulness, even if they're true. Even if they're true, this is what is intended here. And those who love that, we pay attention. Inna ladina yuhibbun. Verily, those who love and tashi al fahisha. Those who love and they like it, they like that the fahisha should be spread amongst the believers. What is their recompense? Lahum adabun alim. They will have a painful punishment. They'll have a painful punishment. If that's the case for those who like it to be spread, how about for those who spread it? If that's the case for those who like the foulness and the vulgar affairs and actions of indecency to be spread amongst the believers, and how about those who do it themselves? They spread it themselves. And this is just reverting to those who like that. So therefore, those who spread it, actually spread it. And they carry those tales and rumors, and they spread them. And today, spreading information is very, very easy. And the issue of spreading information has become a trial for us in these days. And it's become very easy. Before, they would spread information and it would just go locally, or in their neighborhood, or in their town, or in their village, and it would take time for it to go outside of that, and it wouldn't go distances. But today, the information can be spread in one moment to the ends of the world, literally. To the ends of the world, literally. Until then, sometimes it will be translated in languages. Any one statement, and one text, and the likes like this into languages, and it will reach the ends of the world. Yani, so this is something that's very severe and very dangerous, and to like this. And this is from the clarification of the obligation to make tathabbut, yani, in the news and in the information, and to think first before he one spreads things. To think first before one spreads things. Maybe he will spread something and he will see something and it will be a lie. The person who initially wrote that letter or he made that statement, it's a lie completely, a fabrication. Just like in the story of the ifk, a complete lie and fabrication. And then the people, they took it and they spread it. They took it and they spread it. And these things happen today. People lying on individuals, on one another. Believers lying on one another, spreading lies. And then a person, he will take that. Even worse, lying on the righteous or lying on the students. Worse than that, lying on the people of knowledge. Lying on the people of knowledge. This is something that is known. People are doing this in these days. And then one will get that and he will spread it and he will aid in that. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَنْ يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. That it suffices a person to be considered lying, that he will narrate everything that he hears. So how about if a person, he spreads and he forwards everything that he hears, and he cuts and pastes everything that he hears. Whether a believer, if he hears something that is foul, first and foremost, he will never spread that. Because this is a major sin. This is a major sin. And there's many foul affairs and downfalls to the issue of this, and to spread the evils that are happening in the society, in the Muslim societies, in the Muslim communities. Oh, this brother is doing this, or they're doing this in this society, or they have alcohol in this society, or in this country, or in this land like this. and he's spreading the indecency and the vulgarness and the evils that are happening amongst the believers. Because in the wicked in the society, they look and they see, everybody knows about it. They're all with us. Nobody will blame us now. Because everybody knows, and it's a clear affair. And there are many people who are doing it, so they will just partake. And the fusaq, they'll take advantage of that. The fusaq and the evil ones and the wicked ones, they'll take advantage of, look, everybody knows. It's normal now. It's normal now. So they'll take advantage of that. And likewise, the enemies of Islam also will take advantage of that. And they'll be looking, look at those believers. They have alcohol in their countries too. Or they have this in their land too. Or they have fornication and to spread these things. And for example, sometimes, and they'll take pictures. They'll take pictures of individuals or videos. Look what they're doing here. And then spread that. And then the people will see that. And somebody who has a disease in his heart will be like, yeah, that's what he does too. So then he has somebody along with him. He's not alone. So now he becomes strong. Or those people who are foul, and they'll take advantage of that, and they'll spread that, and they'll see that, and say, look at these people. You think their religion is good? Look at them doing this. And look at them doing that. Take a look at the Muslims, how they're doing this. And take a look at the Muslims, how they're doing that. And they'll use that in the media against the believers, and to spread a bad image about Islam. And the likes like this. And the same thing, the people of knowledge, they mentioned likewise, with regards to like showing the downfalls of the Muslims. And to show the Muslims and to spread it all over the land that the Muslims are being humiliated, and there's armies at their fences and at their doors, and their lands are corrupted and destroyed, and spreading that all over the world, and then the people looking at that, and people are affected by that, and it has a bad outcome. It has a bad outcome. But rather, what is incumbent, as we've seen before, is to do what? The faults of the Muslims and the downfalls of the Muslims. What are we supposed to do? You're supposed to hide them. You're supposed to cover that up. And this is what has preceded in the previous chapter, to clarify that you cover these things up. You hide these things. Man satara muslima satarahu Allahu fi dunya wal akhirah. Whoever covers the faults of a believer, then Allah will cover his faults in the hereafter. So a believer, he will not help and aid in spreading the downfalls and the ills of the believers through the land. And because it has many evils. And from them, first and foremost, is a major sin. Those who love that the fahisha and the indecency and the foulness and the vulgar actions and deeds are being spread amongst the believers, lahum adabun adim. They have a severe punishment. They have a severe punishment. So that's for the one who loves that. And how about the one who does that, or the one who spreads that? So therefore, a believer, he'll think twice before he transmit information. Before he transmits information, and also before he spreads, whether he transmit with his speech only, or whether he transmit by forwarding, or by cutting and pasting and the likes like this, he will verify and he will check. And even if he verifies that it's true and authentic, also at that time, he will think about the issue before he spreads it. He will think about the issue before he spreads it, because it might be a major sin to spread that, or it might bring more harm and corruption to spread that, and he does not want to have a hand in bringing deficiency to the ranks of the believers, or bringing blame to the Muslims in general, or to have a hand in spreading indecency amongst the ranks of the believers and the likes like this. So this is the issue here, Bab al-Fuhsh. Bab al-Fuhsh. And indecency itself is evil. Just to love to spread it is evil. How about those who spread it? How about those who spread it? After this, the author says, وَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى إِذَا نَصَحُوا لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ مَا عَلَى الْمُحْسِنِينَ مِنْ سَبِيلٍ. After this, he mentioned in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, which is a portion of a verse from Surah At-Tawbah, if they are sincere in their duty to Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا عَلَى الْمُحْسِنِينَ مِنْ سَبِيلٍ. And there is no blame, or there will be no punishment upon those who are good doers. And this verse is revealed with regards to a group of the believers. They were not able to go out in jihad with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because they were weak, or they were poor. They did not have the means, or because they were sick. ليس على الضعفاء ولا على المرضى ولا على الذين لا يجدون ما ينفقون حرج. This is what came before. There's no blame, or there's no hardship, or there's no blame upon those who were weak, or those who were sick, or those who did not find what to spend. And إذا نصحوا لله ورسوله, if they were sincere and they kept their duty to Allah and His Messenger, they were not blameful in that. They were not blameful in that because they were sincere. So if a believer, he keeps his duty to Allah Azza wa Jal, and he's sincere with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala by singling him out alone in worship, and by believing in Him, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, in His beautiful names and attributes, and affirming that properly, and negating from him that which is a deficiency, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and loving what he loves, and loving for his sake, and having allegiance for him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise with the messenger, and likewise with the messenger, and loving the messenger, being sincere with that, and obedience to the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he has fulfilled his duty. Ma ala al-muhsinina min sabil. The one who does these affairs, then he's considered muhsin. He's a good doer. And there is no blame or no punishment for those who do good. For those who do good. Wallahu a'lam, the intent from the author here is to clarify that those who are truthful and they sincerely advise one another and they will command the good and reprimand the evil, this is not considered spreading falsehood or spreading indecency and the likes like that. But rather a believer, he will not spread it if he sees indecency, if he sees foulness, if he sees wickedness, he will be a man. And he will go to that person if he's able to. And he will face them and he will advise them with knowledge and with wisdom, with a good intention. And he will not lie back in the cut and spread their falsehood behind, especially today's behind curtains and behind internets and behind websites and behind Facebook and behind WhatsApp and spreading the ills. Rather, he will go to them. He will go to them and he will be sincere with Allah Azza wa Jal and sincere to the believers who believe in Allah. And likewise, giving the sincere advice to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by aiding and supporting his sunnah and clarifying that. So then he will advise them if he's able to. And if he's not able to, then he can direct that foulness to the people who are able to. And this is not considered spreading fahisha. This is not considered spreading fahisha. So again, we shouldn't mix the two affairs. There are those who spread evil and there are those who stand and reprimand that and correct that. For example, somebody, any from the foul and evil affairs, any innovations, no doubt. Or if there is evil in the society from fornication and the likes like this, somebody who's able to, he will stand. And he will admonish the people, and he will reprimand them. And he will mention the evidences, and he will scare them with the words of Allah Azza wa Jal, with the Qur'an. With the Quran and with the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not naming them or spreading them as individuals, but he will clarify that affair. And this is from advice and from sincere advice for Allah and His Messenger. And this is not considered spreading evil. And Allah knows best. After this, the author he says, "Babu dhikri mawaddati, babu dhikri mawaddati a'da'illah, babu dhikri mawaddati a'da'illah." The chapter with regards to mentioning having love for the enemies of Allah. Loving the enemies of Allah. Al-mawadda, yani al-mahabba. Al-mawadda, yani al-mahabba. To have love for the enemies of Allah. And this is a major sin. This is a major sin. We have seen before the enemies of Allah, they have hatred and they have enmity. And that we have a great role model and example in that. And that is Ibrahim alayhi salam and those along with him. قَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ إِذْ قَالُوا لِقَوْمِهِمْ. Verily you have a great example in Ibrahim alayhi salam and those along with him. Whenever they said to their people, "Inna bura'u minkum wa mimma ta'buduna min duni Allahi kafarna bikum wa bada baynana wa baynakum al-adawatu wal-baghda'u abadan hatta tu'minu billahi wahdah." That verily we are free from you and everything that you worship besides Allah, we disbelieve in you. And in that which you're upon. And there has appeared between us and you enmity and hatred forever until you believe in Allah alone. Until you believe in Allah alone. So this is what is incumbent. And to have in the heart for the disbelievers. And again, we will see, inshallah, this does not mean that one will transgress the limits and violate their rights. Along with that enmity and hatred he will have in his heart if he lives with those disbelievers who he has a peace treaty with, and they have agreements with them, and they have contracts with them. They have rights likewise from a believer. So this issue as well, it has limits, and it has a moderate course and a straight path. And it's possible to deal with somebody and to smile to them and to be kind to them and to be just to them and to hate what they're upon. And to hate what they're upon. And this hatred should not carry them to violate their right or to shed their blood or to take their wealth unrightfully, because this is for the sake of Allah. And they have rights in this manner. So this is the issue here. Babu dhikri mawaddati a'da'i Allah. The chapter with regards to having love for the enemies of Allah. So the author, he says, Babu dhikri mawaddati a'da'illah. The chapter with regards to the mention of loving the enemies of Allah. وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And the statement of Allah the Most High, لَا تَجِدُ قَوْمًا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ يُوَادُّونَ مَنْ حَادَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ ولو كانوا آباءهم الآية ولو كانوا آباءهم الآية. He says, and from the evidences of this is the statement of Allah the Most High, you do not find a people who truly believe in Allah in the last day. You do not find a people who truly believe in Allah in the last day having love and having love for those who oppose Allah and His Messenger, even if they were their fathers. وَلَوْ كَانُوا أَبَاءَهُمْ أَوْ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ أَوْ إِخْوَانَهُمْ أَوْ أَشِيرَتَهُمْ. Even if it was their fathers or their brothers or their children or their brethren, any from or their kinsmen from their tribes. أُولَئِكَ كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانَ وَأَيَّدَهُمْ بِرُوحٍ مِّنْ. That these people here, they have no love for those people. They have no love for those people. Any of the disbelievers, those who have taken an opposition and opposed entirely Allah and His Messenger in disobedience and in rejection. Those people here, even if it was their parents or their loved ones or their children or their brethren, and the likes like this, it is these that Allah has written sincere faith in their heart. It is these that Allah has written sincere faith in their heart. Yani, that they are true believers, and this is sincere faith. This is because their love is for Allah, and they love what Allah loves, and they take an allegiance for the sake of Allah. So therefore they love who Allah loves, and they love for the sake of Allah. And this requires for them to detest and to hate everything that Allah dislikes and hates, and to have to be distanced from that, and to have a disallegiance from that. And likewise everyone who Allah hates. And Allah, He says, Wallahu la yuhibbul kafirin. And Allah, He does not love the disbelievers. Allah, He does not love the disbelievers. So therefore, how could a believer love them? So therefore, how could a believer love them? أُولَٰئِكَ كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانَ وَأَيَّدَهُمْ بِرُوحٍ مِّنْ. It is these people that Allah has written sincere faith in their hearts and has aided them with the ruh. Yani, the people of knowledge here, they say with a light, yani, the light of knowledge and tawfiq, and given them firmness in their deen. They have given them firmness in their deen. And this is similar to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانَ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْإِسْيَانَ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ. But rather it is Allah who has made the faith beloved to you, and He has decorated it in your hearts, made it beloved and adorned it in your hearts, and He has made detestable to you disbelief and corruption and disobedience. And these, they are the ones who are uply right and guided. These are the ones who are uply right and they are guided. I mean, this is the sincere faith and the true faith. But again, that this hatred for them will not cause a believer to take their right. And this is such an important affair. And this will not cause a believer to take their right. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ. And do not let your hatred for a people, do not let your hatred for a people, even if they're the enemies of Allah, do not let your hatred for a people cause you to not be just. Be just. This is closer to piety. This is closer to piety. لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم ولم يخرجوكم من دياركم أن تبروهم وتقسطوا إليهم وتقسطوا إليهم إن الله يحب المقسطين. That verily Allah, He did not prohibit you, any from being kind and just to those who do not fight you for your religion, and they do not kick you out of your home because of your religion, that you be just to them. Verily Allah, He loves those who are just. Allah, He does not prohibit that. Rather, He commands that. That will be kind to them, will be just to them, will be nice to them. But at the same time, we have enmity towards them, and we have hatred towards them. And in our hearts, we hate what they're upon. We will not take them as allies. We will not take them as close friends. And if we deal with them, we'll deal with them with justice and with kindness, and hopefully that they will accept Islam, or at least they'll have a good picture and idea of the Muslims and true Islam. And they will know that the Muslims are upon a good way, and they have good manners, and their religion calls them to be kind and nice, and the likes like this. And this is something that, yani, the Salaf, they were upon. And it's been narrated from Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma that he had one of his family members was slaughtering a sheep. And then whenever he came, he told him, إِذَا انْتَهَيْتَ فَابْدَأْ بِجَارِنَا الْيَهُودِ. He said, whenever you finish skinning the sheep, you begin first and foremost by giving that meat to our Jewish neighbor. To our Jewish neighbor. Somebody from amongst them, they said, الجار اليهودي أصلحك الله. Somebody that was along with him, they said, the Jewish neighbor, may Allah rectify your affairs. And he thinking that he's wrong. And he explained and he clarified that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came to him, وَكَانَ يُسِيهِ بِالْجَرْ حَتَّى ظَنَنَّ أَنَّهُ سَيُوَرِّثُهُ. That Jibreel, he advised with the kindness to the neighbor, even if to the extent that we thought he's going to cause him to inherit. And he's that close in that manner. So even if he is a disbeliever, he has the right of a neighbor. And those who have a contract and those who have peace treaties with us and those who we live like, for example, in this land, then it's not allowed to take an allegiance with them, and to love what they're upon, and to love them, to draw them close, and to have them as allies. And also it's not allowed to violate their rights and to oppress them. And the likes like this, whether there's a middle course, the dealings with them will be ihsan. If they do good to us, we do good to them. And we respond in a good manner, and we treat them with justice according to the legislation. At the same time, we dislike what they're upon, and we dislike their way, and we do not want to be a part of that or have any hand in that, especially whenever they're on their misguidance and their evil from the holidays and the likes like this. So he will not partake in that, and he will turn away from that, and he will hate that in his heart. At the same time, he'll be kind to them, and he'll be nice. It's been narrated from Abi Darda رضي الله عنه. He said, إِنَّا لَنَقْشِرُ فِي وُجُوهِ أَقْوَامٍ وَقُلُوبُنَا تَلْعَنُهُمْ. That verily we smile in the face of some people and our hearts curse them. And he'll be nice to them and kind to them, but at the same time we dislike what they're upon and we hate what they're upon. But we're not going to violate them or take their rights. And we're not going to or do something that is going to bring harm upon the Muslims or bring harm upon oneself. And the likes like this, and even, for example, if somebody has to deal with somebody who has authority, but he's corrupt, and he's dealing with somebody who has authority over him, but he's corrupt and wicked, he will smile in his face, and so that he will be safe from his harm. How are you doing? And if it's a Muslim and he's evil and corrupt, but he has no way out except to deal with him, he'll give him salam and smile, and he will move in order to be safe from his harm. So this is very possible, to have enmity and hatred like this in the heart for people, at the same time to give them their right. To give them their right, especially whenever that enmity in the heart is for the sake of Allah. It's for the sake of Allah. Even Ibrahim alayhi salam, whenever he freed himself from his father and from his people, Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned about this affair that he freed himself from his people and from his deen. But as for his father, he freed him likewise. He freed himself from his father and his religion, but he continued to do good to him. He didn't free himself from the right of his father, of ihsan. And so a person, even if he has a family members that are disbelievers, then he will give him the right of the parent, and the right of the family member, and the right of the ties of kinship, even if he's a disbeliever. At the same time, he has hatred for what they're upon. And he will not associate them and take them as allies in that affair where there is allegiance for Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِذَا نَسَحُوا لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ مَا عَلَى الْمُحْسِنِينَ مِنْ سَبِيلٍ مَا عَلَى الْمُحْسِنِينَ مِنْ سَبِيلٍ. Allah, He mentioned this in His book. وَإِذَا جَاهَدَكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبَهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. And if your parents, your mother and your father, جَاهَدَكَ, they strive against you to cause you to make shirk with Allah. If they strive against you to cause you to make shirk with Allah, do not obey them. وَصَاحِبَهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. And accompany them in this life in a good manner. So they still have the right of the parent. So even if they're calling to go to church and to go to Christmas dinner and to go to Thanksgiving dinner and to go to Halloween and the likes like this, you don't obey them in that. But how do you disobey them in that? With nobility and with honor and respect. With nobility and honor and respect. If a parent called his child to disobey Allah, shirk, or anything lesser than that, for example, to buy alcohol, to buy pork, the believer, he will not do that. And he will not obey his mother or his father in this. He will disobey them. But the issue is here is how would he disobey them? He will disobey them with respect and with love and with honor. He will show preference to the command of Allah and to his faith in Allah. But at the same time, he will disobey his parents in a good manner and in the best way. And he will not belittle them or mock them or put them down or raise his voice to them and be rude to them and the likes like that. So this is the case of moderation. The case of moderation with love and allegiance, with hate and disavowal and detest and disallegiance and the likes like this, there's a moderate case. There's a moderate path. Those who truly love Allah and they have allegiance for Allah Azza wa Jal, they will see this and they will follow that. So this is the case here. The author is mentioned. He says, وَقَوْلِهِ, and the statement of Allah, قل إن كان آباؤكم وأبناؤكم وإخوانكم وأزواجكم وعشيرتكم وأموال اقترفتموها وتجارة تخشون كزادها ومساكن ترضونها أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربسوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.